The scripture reading is Psalm 148, and I'll be reading from my Bible. I don't know if it matches up with your... No, it's not going to. So listen to God's word from Psalm 148. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord from the heavens! Praise Him in the heights above! Praise Him, all His angels! Praise Him, all His heavenly hosts! Praise Him, sun and moon! Praise Him, all you shining stars! Praise Him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His command they were created, and He established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do His bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And He has raised up for His people a horn, the praise of all His faithful servants of Israel, the people close to His heart. Praise the Lord. This is God's word to us today. Thanks be to God and praise His holy name. Our scripture reading today is only, three verses? Isaiah 63:7-9. Listen to God's word. I will tell of the kindnesses of the Lord, the deeds for which He is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things He has done for Israel according to His compassion and many kindnesses. He said, surely they are my people, children who will be true to me. And so He became their Savior. In all their distress, He too was distressed. And the angel of His presence saved them. In His love and mercy, He redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Friends, this is God's word and it's good news. Hallelujah. Well, friends, I love being here. I love coming back to my home church here at Chestnut Level after all these years. But we are going into 2020. We're going into a new year. We're going into a new decade. Have you thought of it that way? A new decade. And what are your hopes and dreams for going into this new year, this new decade? Are you... I want to go in, here's what I want. I want to go in fully alive, not fearful. I want to go in, I want to take on 2020 and not be timid. I want to be dynamic and not depressed. I want to be courageous, not cowardice. I want to be bold and not beaten. I want to be unified in Jesus Christ and not divisive and divisive and defeated and depressed. And that's what I want. And if that's what you want too, even though this is a Presbyterian church, you can say amen. 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 You see, if you're feeling this too, but you know, we're going into winter. We're going into a time of cloudy skies and gray, cold, cutting wind. We're going into a time where you know what, there's this laying all around the place. There's, you know, it's depressing. It's depressing. Empty boxes, empty. There's trash. Lisa asked, why was there trash in the car? And I'm like, well, because it's the season of emptiness. You know, we tear stuff loose and we have empty boxes and empty gift bags and we have paper that's strewn around and we have trash, and it's so depressing. And there could be emptiness as we're going forward. There could be emptiness in strained relationships. You've just been together with families and friends, and some of that gets frayed and frazzled and a little bit depressing. It's like, you know, if If any of you are having those sugar low moments and have this stuff kind of hanging around, friends, we are in the right place. You have come to the right place. You've come here because God's word transforms us. God's word lifts us up. God's word changes us and emboldens us for going into the new year. But here's how it's done. It's done this way. We look forward. We move forward boldly by looking backward. We move forward boldly by looking backward. In December 5th, there was a Henry Nouwen meditation that says, our future expectation of glory is anchored in the incarnation of God in Jesus Christ so many years ago. Our future expectation of glory is anchored in the past. It's anchored in the incarnation of God's Son, Jesus Christ, in the past. So we look forward boldly by looking backward. Even the Danish philosopher Kierkegaard said it this way: we understand life backwards, but we have to live forwards. We understand life backwards, but we have to live forwards. So as God's word just told us, it told us in Isaiah that says, I will tell of the kindnesses of the Lord and the deeds for which he is to be praised. So we're going to tell of past kindnesses and deeds. We're going to tell of that. So how do we do that? For all you note takers, for you note takers, there's two requirements to tell of the Lord's kindnesses, the deeds for which he is to be praised. One, you have to know what they are. And two, you need some new language. And here's what I mean. First, we're going to talk about some of this list, but you need to create an inventory. What are the Lord's kindnesses to me? What are the deeds for which he is to be praised? So you can make a list. You can make an inventory. You can sort of sit and reflect. Some of you do annual Christmas letters. I just was looking back over, I've been doing them for 32 years, and some of you are mentioned in those letters, you know, or in my prayer journals for sure. We have to take a look at how we look back in order to go forward. Now the next thing we need is, and some of you could use your calendars, you could use, you know, there's all sorts of ways of recounting. If you journal, if you diary, all sorts of ways to sit and go, how have I been blessed over the years? What did the Lord do for me in my life? So friends, we move forward boldly by looking backward. Now, we're going to do more of that, but the new language is this. The second piece of the new language is, When something great happens to us, when we look back and go, wow, I escaped an accident, I escaped an illness, or I got healed, I got, someone stepped in and did, and helped me out. Here's what you don't say. You don't say, well, that was lucky. Or you don't say, well, fate had it this way. You don't say, you know, that was luck. You say, that was the Lord. So it's not luck, it's the Lord. And it's not your skill, it's not your cunning, it's not even your wisdom, it's not even your education or your background. It's the Lord. That's the language you use. It's not luck, it's the Lord. And it's not, I can say this for you guys, it's not even your good looks. Because you're a good-looking bunch, but it's not your good looks, it's the Lord. I mean, I had a conversation with Ken Smith just the other day, and he actually said, he used those words in the conversation, saying, you know what, God has blessed us, God has done amazing things through us, and I didn't prompt him to say that. So it's not luck, it's the Lord. So practice the new language with me. We say, it's not luck, it's the Lord. Luck, it's the Lord. Good, say it again. It's not luck,
It's the Lord.
That's right. I think you got that. Now, now, so let's take an inventory. We're going to go back and take an inventory. And I'll just give you some examples. I'm going to give you some examples from my life. We're going to look at Chestnut level, and then we're going to look at you personally. So in my life, God, the Lord has blessed me first being born in America. I was born here in the U.S. The Lord gave me wonderful, hardworking parents, blessed me with a mom who would dress me and my three younger brothers, drag us off to church and Sunday school each Sunday. You know, she shared her faith. She showed me faith in the Lord, faith in Jesus Christ. I was blessed with that. Then I was richly blessed. The Lord did an amazing work in my life when he got me to meet up with my high school sweetheart, Lisa. That was about 49 years ago. We've been married 46 and a half years. I wouldn't be here today. I'd be in a gutter someplace if it wasn't be for my wife, Lisa. So I give thanks for her being my companion, my partner, coming alongside of me. The Lord did that. It wasn't luck. It was the Lord. It wasn't luck. It was the Lord. Now, the Lord also gave me saving grace in His Son, Jesus Christ. I couldn't figure that out. The Lord did that for me. It's not luck. It's the Lord. And then, of course, there's a litany of, I demolished a car in college. I'm ashamed to say that. But the Lord kept me from serious harm in that. The Lord, I don't know how many times there was potential aircraft crashes when I was flying C-130s, and even in pilot training, it was a near midair. It's not luck. The Lord's hand was in my life. And finally, at a Bethany Beach, I think it was 87, I had a body surfing accident that I was this close to being a quadriplegic. This close. But it's not luck. It's the Lord. The Lord's hand was on me in so many ways. And let me tell you, the Lord used some of you. The Lord used some of you in ways that I can't describe, that you will never know. The Lord used you to shape me, form me, and into ministry. The Lord used you, this church, to help guide me and pray for me, encourage me, and say, you know what? The Lord has something for you. So the Lord's blessed me. The Lord has blessed me in so many ways. I'm extravagantly blessed. Put it that way. So, now, what about you? What about Chestnut level? Well, the Lord's hand was on Chestnut level. For now, over 300 years, this body of Christ has been worshiping God right here in this place. The Lord's hand was on you. The Lord, through you, has built an amazing family life center. And the Lord, through you, you got to burn the mortgage, I don't know how many, 8 years ago, 7 years ago. The amazing work through you. It's not luck, it's the Lord. It's not luck, it's the Lord. And the Lord has provided you some wonderfully hardworking deacons and elders and trustees and created the Wednesday Night Alive and the Christian Education, given you some long-term pastorates, and through you, the Lord has given you, this is great, a 2020 vision and the Lord is blessing you in so many amazing ways with that report of the campaign. The Lord's doing amazing work through you. The Lord is blessing Southern Lancaster County and the surroundings through you, through the ministers of this church, this congregation, because it says it on the front, you're the ministers of this. The Lord is doing it. It's not you. It's not your good looks. It's not your skill, your cutting. The Lord is working in and through you. Now, what about you as an individual? Well, there's a hint in Psalm 139:13 where it says, the psalmist is saying, the Lord knit me together in my mother's womb. Now, let me ask, what part of your physical birth, what role did you play? Did you tell mom, okay, squeeze now, contract now, No. Did you, get your heart beaten? No. Did you, climb out? You don't remember, right? No, you did. You did. The Lord gave you birth. The Lord gave you physical life. So you had no role in it. So that's your first gift. And then secondly, the Lord has given you faith. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. Now, Ephesians 2:4 tells us that because of his great love for us, God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ when we were still transgressors, when we were still sinners. So what role did you play there? You didn't work for your salvation or for the grace or the faith. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. You didn't do anything. You were dead. You were like roadkill. You were like, I've heard it called flattened fauna. Flatline. That's what you were when the Lord's hand put his hand on you, saved you, gave you faith, gave you his grace in his son, Jesus Christ. So that's amazing, friends. That's amazing. The Lord did it. It's not luck. It's the Lord. You're here because of that. Now, all you did is you received it, right? That's all you did is you received it. Now, even in our words today, it says, by his presence, he lifted you up. By his strength, he carried you. By his presence, he saved you. It's all about the Lord. And it's not luck. It's the Lord. It's the Lord's doing. Now, what's our response? How do we respond to life, to the gifts he gives us, to the gift of salvation, to the gift of faith? How do we respond to that? So what do you do with any of your gifts? You recently probably gave some gifts, maybe received some gifts, and what did you do with them? Did you go, oh, this is nice, trash that, or you go, oh, I didn't really want that. You go, oh, nice, a nice box. It says Merry and Bright. You throw it in the trash. No, you didn't do that. You opened it, you thanked the person, and you responded, but you put it on, if it's a sweater, if it's a tie, or it's cologne, whatever it is, you put it on, you used it. You might even tell people, hey, you know what so-and-so did for me? You know, it's like, oh, it's amazing. That's what we do. We respond, we use it. So friends, when we receive a kindness, when we receive it, we say it. So when we see something, a blessing, you know, a Lord's kindness, a deed done for us, we say it. So we see it and we say it. We see it and we say it. Now, I know you know what's coming next. You're going to say this with me. When you see it, you say it. When you see it, you say it. You're getting good. When you see it, you say it. All right. So that's what we do. That's what we do with when we, it's not the Lord, it's not luck, it's the Lord. And when you see it, you say it. Now, our text tells us to do that. I will tell of the Lord's kindnesses, the deeds done. What did Jesus tell the Gerasene that had all those demons in? You know, he chased all the demons, he sent the demons out into the pigs, and the Gerasene guy, it's all cleaned up. He wanted to follow Jesus. What did Jesus say? Nope, you're not following me. He says, go and tell what I've done for you. Go and tell what I've done for you. Well, then there's other stories where, like the Samaritan woman at the well, you know, the one with the five husbands and living with a guy who wasn't her husband. She just went off and told the town. She goes, hey, come and see someone who told me everything about my life. Could this be the Messiah? She wasn't told to go tell. She just did it. And then there is the blind man in Matthew where he heals the blindness, and then he tells these guys, oh, don't go tell anybody. Don't tell anyone about this. What did they do? They had 20/20 vision now. They went running off and told all their friends, told all their family. They couldn't help themselves. They told of the Lord's kindnesses, even disobeying Jesus, said, don't tell anybody. They went off and told. So it says, I will tell of the Lord's kindnesses and the deeds that he's done for us. So friends, it's not luck, it's the Lord. When you see it, say it. And one final story, because I think this helps tie it together for us a little bit. And it's a story about my mother-in-law, Edie Dracolis. Now, Edie is a lifelong member of Wrightsville Presbyterian Church. In fact, that's where I became Presbyterian, with Lisa. So Edie had a brother living in Wrightsville, and her brother did not attend church. Now, her brother just wasn't a churchgoer, but he had two boys, Rick and Bob. Now, so Edie, Aunt Edie, and the late Uncle Joe would go and pick up Rick and Bob every Sunday, and they would take them to church. They took them to Sunday school and church. They even stood by them in baptism, said, yeah, we'll raise these kids in the faith. So they were not only, seeing what the Lord did, but they're telling and they're saying it, and they're showing. So they would stand by Rick, and this story is about Rick and Edie. They would stand by Rick and raise them in the faith. Now, Rick got a little older, and then he started thinking, you know what? Church is kind of boring, for a late teen or whatever. He started wandering off, and he started getting in trouble. He kind of wandered away from the faith. And then met a wife, Debbie. And Debbie, but all the while he was wandering away, he had this sense, God's calling me, and I know I'm kind of running away from him, but God has his hand on me. God's calling me, but I kind of ignore him. Well, then Debbie was speaking the words of God, said, look, we need to go back to church. So they went back to Wrightsville Presbyterian Church, and they started growing in their faith. And Rick continued to have this sense. He goes, God is doing something in me. I don't know what. God is doing something. And so they're growing in their faith. Then they moved to Dover, PA, a little bit further away. They moved to Dover, PA. They started going to a 34-week Bible study, then really growing in the Lord. And through that, he's sensing a call to ministry to teenagers. And he goes, that made no sense. He goes, I'm scared to talk to teenagers about faith. I don't want to do, teenage ministry. That doesn't make sense at all. And that's how he felt. Well, Debbie contracted cancer, died 6 months later. Soon after that, Rick didn't have a job. He lost his job. So he's in this valley of life, the depths of the valley. And but he's feeling God wants to do something in my life. God is calling me, and I have no idea what it's about. It could be this teen thing, but he's sensing it. So he talks to his pastors, and they help him out, and he starts to volunteer at a local youth center, and he volunteers for a year. And after that year, there's going to be a full-time position open, and he's a shoo-in for the position. But there's also a youth ministry position in Mount Wolf, which is about 10 miles away. So he goes, I'm going to go down there and just interview just to hone my skills. So he goes down to Mount Wolf, interviews. Interview goes well. Now he's sensing a call to Mount Wolf, not to his hometown, Dover. He talks to his pastors. He prays about it for 4 days. He goes, this doesn't make sense. I'm already doing great work here, and I'm a shoo-in for this position. But the Lord spoke to him, and he said, go to Mount Wolf. He went to Mount Wolf and was ministering, doing teen ministry to church kids, not to the youth center. There was no youth center until a year or 3 years later. A bar across the street closed, and they opened a teen youth center there. Rick started working, he was still doing teen ministry in this location He's now been doing youth ministry for 17 years. 17 years in youth ministry, because what? Because Aunt Edie showed him what the Lord had done in her life, showed him what faith is, took him to church. And friends, just recently I heard this story that Rick contacted Aunt Edie and said, "Thank you for praying for me, for never giving up on me, for taking me to church and Sunday school, planting that seed, for being the standing stone in the family, for faith in Jesus Christ." And I hope you can meet Rick. Rick actually came, a 2-hour drive or an hour and a half maybe, something like. Rick and his wife Lori are here today, because I asked him if I could share this story, and he said yes. That, you know, when you see it, you say, it's not luck, it's the Lord. So friends, when you can share, you can say it, you can show others, you can drag your kids, your nephews, your nieces, you can drag them into a place that's going to show them, that's going to plant seeds that can give them abundant and eternal life. So it's not luck, it's the Lord. And when you see it, you say it. You say, you're getting good. Yeah. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your hand on our lives. Thank you for your ministry through each one of us. And Lord, thank you for my mother-in-law, Edie, and for Rick, and for his brother, Bob, who's also in ministry. Thank you, Lord, for the way you are doing amazing work in and through us, even us, ragamuffins in the faith. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.